We're back here on Downtown, and we're extremely pleased to be joined by one of the greatest guitar players in music history. It's Billy Duffy from The Cult, who'll be releasing the band's 10th studio album, Hidden City, on February 5th. Billy, welcome to the show. We were actually talking before you came on that you actually played in the state of Maine before.
I was just thinking about it. I like to contextualize my conversations a little bit. I think I played there with Metallica in 89, maybe.
Well, let's talk about getting the band back together to complete this trilogy that you started back in 2007, now this new album, Hidden City.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, a brief history of the last 10 years, because, you know, the way things are, I still meet people going, hey, are you guys back? Oh, I loved your band in the 80s. I'm like, well, yeah, we've done about 10,000 gigs and made 3 albums in the last 10 years, but... yeah, you know, I guess you've been sleeping or something. It's just funny how people, you know, you've got to work to keep yourself front and center in people's lives, you know, as a musician, you know, as people grow. And it's an interesting journey, you know, because a lot of people are like, hey, I remember you guys in college when I got drunk to the Electric album and got a bad tattoo. I used to listen to that album every day, hungover. You know, you become part of people's lives. So when you go away... people miss you. So I guess, you know, Ian did the Doors for a couple of years there in the mid-2000s where he wasn't really wanting to do The Cult. He went off and did the Doors, and then he did enough of that and came back and was like, why am I singing in somebody else's band? I got my own band. And since he kind of made that realization that he's really happy with The Cult, me and him have been great, you know, and it's been a wonderful 10 years.
Well, Billy, how did you find the White Falcon, or did the White Falcon found you, and how did that become so impactful on your sound and great guitar riffs?
The Falcon was something where I was reaching for a different sound. Like, we were fans of punk rock. You know, I grew up playing, like, listening to punk bands and stuff, and when I was a kid in England, so... the guitar, when that was done, I was like, I was reaching for something to get my own identity as a guitar player, and I didn't want to sound like a bad version of a punk rock, you know, thing. So the Gretsch was just what was to hand. I'd seen pictures of Neil Young, you know, classic pictures of Neil Young in the plaid shirt and the long hair, doing with a Falcon. And I'd seen the New York Dolls, Sylvain, and the New York Dolls had one. And they were kind of a big American influence on punk rock, you know what I mean, just pre-punk. So I was aware of the guitar, and I ended up, I don't know, I just got in a band in London, and they said, you're in the band, we're going on tour, can you get a Gretsch? And I was like, yeah. So I went and got a Gretsch White Falcon. I spent all my life savings on it. Seriously, that's a true story. I spent every penny I'd saved up, which was about, I don't know, $1,400 in 1981, and bought a Gretsch White Falcon, and that became kind of synonymous with me.
Well, of course, The Cult is such an iconic band, hugely popular as well, and one of the reasons is because of the frontman in Ian Astbury. Where do you rank him in terms of frontmen in the rock and roll genre?
Guys like... you know, they're born, they're not made. You can't manufacture an Ian Astbury. They're just, nature comes up with a certain genetic DNA blend. And, you know, with guys like him. So, you know, it's a very difficult question because he's like my brother. You know, we're family. You know, we've grown up together since we were like 20, you know. He's got to be one of the best, doesn't he? You know, you know what's great about him? He's real. What you get's what you get. Not every gig's going to be great, because not every gig was great back in the day. There's too much homogenized nonsense out there now, and phony baloney. Everything's pre-recorded. You know, you may as well stay home and watch it on YouTube, because you're listening to a load of, like, pre-recorded stuff with guys posing on top of it. So with The Cult, you get real, organic guys, and if you come to a show... we try and make it as good as it can be. The audience needs to participate in that. And, you know, the louder you scream, the faster we go. You know, this isn't like, you know, we're not really doing like YouTube kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, where it's all basically like enacting a video.
Now, you and Ian have taken some hiatuses away from the band at times, and another big group coming back together after a long stay away is Guns N' Roses. Would you have any advice for both Axl Rose and Slash as they go into this new endeavor?
Would I have advice for them? Oh, that's a funny question. That takes a bit of thinking about. That's a good question. Only a guy up in Bangor, Maine would come up with that one. That's a good one. No, I think those guys have pretty much got it sussed out. From what I remember of those guys back in 1987, you know, they've always been pretty tuned in, and probably know that I still like know a lot of those guys and play with them and hang out. And I actually had a long phone conversation with one of the members of Guns N' Roses yesterday about stuff. So I do have a bit of an insider knowledge. I think they got themselves together. I think they know what they're doing. They're doing it the right way. And I really hope it works out, because what's good for them is good for rock. You know, we go back 30 years with Guns N' Roses when we asked them to open for us. And they came on tour, and they'd never forgotten that. That we plucked them off an Ace Frehley Y&T tour, and they came out and we did that legendary cult Guns N' Roses tour in 1987 when we were doing Electric. And they were doing Appetite, and at that time they'd sold 50,000 records or 100,000 records, you know, and we'd done a million. And that was the dynamic when we met, and we've remained friends since then, you know. So they never forgot that we asked them. Ian found them and asked them, that we want you to support us. You're f-ing great, you know.
And finally, Hidden City, of course, comes out on February 5th. I'm looking forward to it. And a tour coming up, a stop in Boston also as well on April 5th. What is the future after the tour and the new album for The Cult?
Oh, I'm just going to get my crystal ball out. I'm going to look in my crystal ball. You know, I don't know. It's like funny. It's funny Ian saying that trilogy, and you never know with The Cult. I don't know. I mean, we've got to get through, you know, hopefully a year of playing this new album and getting to go around the world if we're fortunate enough to still be able to get everywhere. Who knows, man? That is a very good question. I'd like to keep the future open, because if I knew, you know, like women always want to go to a fortune teller and find out what the future brings, and mostly guys don't. I'm in the don't category. I like to be pleasantly surprised. I don't need somebody telling me what's going to happen.
Well, The Cult's 10th studio album, Hidden City, comes out on February 5th in stores and available online. Billy, thank you very much for your time, and we can't wait to buy the new album next month.
Yeah, hey, man, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure, and thank you a lot. Thanks again.